The book of John chapter 9, we're going to read selected verses out of this chapter this morning, and we're going to preach to you on the subject of almost there from John chapter 9. You're going to find as we read these verses that the Pharisees that are dealt with in this chapter are almost there concerning their perception of Christ. You're going to find out that the blind man who was healed at the start of his experience after he was healed was almost there in his perception and understanding of who Jesus was. But in both cases, they weren't quite there. The blind man got there. The Pharisees never did, according to the biblical account. We're going to read verses 1 through 18, so bear with us. And then we're going to jump over and read 24 through 38. Long portion of Scripture here. Let's read. John 9, beginning in verse 1. And As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither is this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now then, if you will, drop down to verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now, in this account, notice that the blind man has been given sight by Jesus. And at this point that he's been given his sight, he understands that Jesus is something special, something powerful, but he doesn't yet know that he's the Christ. That's where we find this man in the first half of this reading. And when we think about that, we realize that we live in a world where Jesus Christ is a name that's found on every lip almost in civilized society, at least in every corner of civilized society. And truly, the earth is full of knowledge about Jesus Christ. But it's not yet full of His knowledge and glory, as Isaiah talks about in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9. In fact, the account of this blind man's experience in coming slowly to a revelation about who Christ was could be said to be a whole lot like the history of the discovery of the true person of Jesus Christ by people that are called out of the world into His marvelous light. Now, in the world, a lot of people have heard about Jesus Christ. You almost can't find anybody on any street in Benton or Henry County that doesn't know about the name Jesus Christ. And that's the way it is about everywhere where civilization has made its mark on humanity. But like this blind man, there are a lot of misconceptions about the Lord Jesus Christ. People everywhere that tinker with what you call Christian religion of any kind come to realize that Jesus Christ is some kind of special character. But in the broad spectrum of what's called the Christian religion, He's been painted in every color imaginable. I'm not talking about skin color. Now, I'm talking about how people see Him that call themselves Christian today. So He's well known as Jesus. And even religions that aren't called Christian have quite a bit of reference to this man, Jesus. Even Islam mentions Jesus in the Quran in a lot of places. So He's well known across the world wherever civilization has made inroads. Now, it's interesting, though, that in all of this knowledge, the majority of folks that don't accurately or clearly see Christ for what He is are really religious people. You ever notice that? I mean, people that can tell you something about how they understand Jesus to be, they turn out to be somebody who's dabbled in religion. The lost man on the street that will go so far as to admit that he's lost can't tell you much about Jesus. But you find somebody who's taken up some religion, some Christian religion, and he'll be able to tell you something about Jesus, and a whole lot of the time that he'll tell you something, it's something wrong. A misconception about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the uniqueness of this biblical account that we've read this morning is that we find a whole bunch of Pharisees here that are questioning a man about the Lord Jesus Christ, hearing how He healed this man, a kind of healing that history had never recorded before. This giving a blind man sight. And they had heard all this, and they were in possession of as much knowledge as could be had about the Messiah, because they were doctors of the Old Testament. And with all this knowledge, and all this testimony from the blind man, and all this testimony from his parents, we find that with all of that available to them, they totally missed the mark of identifying Jesus as the One. Think about that. It's significant. Because it turns out that that's the way a lot of civilized humanity treats the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. They know a lot about Him. They can read the Bible cover to cover. They can hear preachers preach about Him. And they'll still come up short of understanding who He is, because they try to get to an understanding of Christ from the position of human thinking and logic and reason and intellect. And it fails utterly. We find this is always true. Now, with the attitudes and the perspectives of all individuals in this event reveals to us is that most religiously informed people in a society cannot cope with who Jesus is. And the reason they can't is they're like these Pharisees. They have a tunnel vision view of who He is. They've been taught it by some preacher, so-called. They've been taught it by parents who were misinformed. Who knows where they get it? But in any case, they have misconception of Him because they've come to have a viewpoint about who Christ is based on their own human intellect derived from some reasoning that they've concocted based on what little knowledge they have about Christ, the Son of God. Now, the Pharisees and the man that was healed of blindness here in our text were almost there in their understanding, like I said. We thank God that Christ reveals Himself in our text to that formerly blind man and freed him of his misconception. But notice carefully that until Christ came and revealed Himself to him, he remained totally in the dark about who Jesus was. He was a prophet, he said. He was a great man. The man understood that. And he became his disciple. He confessed that he was his disciple. Yet not knowing that this was the same one who was the Messiah of the Jewish religion. Now, bearing in mind this relative blindness of the characters in our text this morning, I want us to now examine a few human perceptions about what Jesus or who Jesus really is. And maybe by doing this, the Holy Spirit will bless every one of us and present us with a really good understanding of where each of us stand in regard to this most critical examination. So our question for launching our examination of how people see Jesus is this. How do you see Jesus Christ? With that in mind, we find that for some people today, in this informed society in which we live, in this informed society, in this informed world that we live in, a lot of people today have a vision or understanding of Jesus as just some character in the Bible, somebody that religion has taught them He is, somebody that has gained some knowledge, that they have gained some knowledge about through religious conversations or some sermons that they hear. In other words, they have an intellectual knowledge of who Jesus is. They may be able to tell you stories about from His birth to His crucifixion on Calvary and tell you detailed accounts that come out of this book or out of the mouth of some preacher, but for all that they know, that's as far as their knowledge about Jesus goes. It's an intellectual knowledge. They have a head knowledge of who He is. How many of you have stuff that you brought out of grade school that you never used, that you memorized, that you can quote today, and when you quote that something, you don't know a thing about it, and yet you know all about spouting it out here at your mouth? I believe all of us have things like that. We can say, we can quote things that we memorized when we were kids, and yet we haven't delved into the inner depths of them. And that's the way it is with a lot of religious people today. They have an intellectual knowledge of Christ that they got from a preacher, or from just reading the Bible and absorbing some of the history account in here. And they can tell you things about Him. But that's as far as it goes. It's superficial. It's only skin deep. It's only something imprinted on their brain from a learning process. And they view Christ as someone that was important in Bible history, that someone that was a great man, but that's as far as they go. Now, the Pharisees were the ones in our text that were supposed to have received all the teaching and gained all the education about the hope of Israel, the Messiah. I mean, you would think that if there was ever anybody that would understand the moment they came into contact face to face with the Messiah, these Pharisaical doctors of the law would know that it was Him. And yet, they missed the mark worse than the common man. They missed the mark when the publican understood who he was. They missed the mark when a man blind from birth was able to understand it clearly when Jesus came and said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" They missed it because it was head knowledge and not heart knowledge. Now, as I said, the parallel today is are a bunch of citizens in our own society and across the world that are highly schooled in gospel history and highly schooled in the players of the gospel account. Maybe highly schooled in the Old Testament prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. But totally ignorant of something that is essential to really knowing who Christ is. And that something has to do not with head knowledge, but with heart knowledge. So some people then have a Christ that is born of religious conversation, of sermons, of having read the Bible like an intellect might read the Bible. There are other people that have other views of Christ. And here's one that we think of when we start thinking about the way a lot of people across the earth see the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some folks that believe that Jesus Christ is the character that's revered in the minds of the people of God or people who profess Christianity in general. There is a class of human being on the earth that the only Christ they know is somebody that they have a certain attentiveness toward because born-again believers really hold Him up. Because the Christian religion preaches about Him all the time. And when they think on this Jesus, they think, you know, this guy must have really been something. Now they're saying that He's their Savior. That He's the one who will get them to heaven. So He must really be somebody important. And that's as far as they go. Because they have another pursuit, another religion, another life. Something that doesn't relate to the Lord Jesus Christ at all. This kind of individual is viewed from this frame of reference that allows a human being to be skeptical about the person Jesus Christ and about His role on earth, about His actual existence really, because it's not long that a person who looks at Jesus this way as being somebody that a certain religious denomination holds up, or a certain individual that preachers preach about, somebody that views Christ in that frame, are perfect suckers for becoming skeptical about the existence of Christ. And I believe that's why skepticism about Christ actually being a character is so rampant today. People have this view of Christ. They see Him as somebody that, oh, this Christian religion, they really hold Him up, they revere Him. But, you know, we don't really have any precise history that nails down the fact that this Jesus was really even a figure in history, was really even a person. That's the way somebody view it. And so because of that, they cannot comprehend that those who have Christ as the central figure of their religion and their worship can possibly be on the right track. They just recognize that here's this guy named Jesus Christ that a certain segment of their society holds up high and has a lot to say, a lot of good things to say about. Now, there's a third type of individual that sees Christ in a different way. And that's those who believe that Jesus Christ is just one of those things that they have to claim to believe in order to be a member of a church. That this Jesus, they have to make a profession of faith in Him Because they need to be a member of the church. Because it's beneficial. It's profitable. It's what everybody in the community is doing. They're joining the church. It improves business. It gets things done. It gives them contacts. There's a communication link there. And so they join the church and they have to go up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And they don't know what they're talking about at all. The reason they don't know what they're talking about at all is they have only the view that they got to get this done and this is part of this religious dogma that they got to get through to be a member of this church where they can gain some advantage. There are a lot more folks like that, brothers and sisters, than you might think. Now, I'd say there's two different kinds, types of views about Christ that fit in this category. And the first we'll call the individual that believes in the Jesus Christ that comes from what I've been talking about, comes from an insincere profession of faith, usually seen when people, as I said, join a church. So they say church membership's important, so I gotta get through this and I gotta do this. And they'll say, I'll be morally accepted, I'll be publicly accepted, I'll be accepted business-wise, so I'll do this to get acceptance and to get in the clique. And so they join, and it looks like they have come to believe in the Messiah. But really what they've done is they've come to believe that there's advantage to be had in church membership. They know who Christ is. He's that individual that's the focal point of that denomination they join. And they know that much. And then there's a second type of view of Jesus Christ that takes on another aspect. And I want to illustrate this type of individual by looking at the Pharisees of Jesus' day. In this type of individual, the religion of the Pharisees had its Christ. And they believed sincerely in this Pharisee-fabricated Christ. And this type of individual really does believe in a Messiah. But the problem with that Messiah is he is not King Jesus. The problem with that Messiah is he isn't anything like what the Lord Jesus Christ really is. They mold a Christ to fit their preconceptions of what he's supposed to be based on their own human knowledge. That's what the Pharisees did, by the way. They weren't schooled in the true spiritual message of the Old Testament writ. They weren't schooled in that. They were well schooled in the writings of the Old Testament and what the Old Testament said about the coming Messiah. And they could define what the Old Testament said about his coming and about what he would do and what he would be. But they missed everywhere that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners by the sacrifice of himself. And when they ran up against that, they didn't have anywhere to go. They took refuge in their own definition of Christ. And that definition was so far missed. When we beheld the Son of God there that day who had healed the blind man who was blind from birth, they had not the capacity to recognize him because, what Christ are you talking about, blind man? What man are you talking about? They were looking beyond Jesus trying to see the Christ that they had conjured up. And he wasn't there because it was a figment of their imagination. And that is the Christ, brothers and sisters, sadly, that millions of people worship today. There are religious denominations this morning as we sit here and worship together that are worshiping right out of this book. And that preacher is standing in the pulpit preaching right out of this book. And he's preaching about a Christ that is described right in this book. And he's reading verbatim, maybe even out of the King James Version. Rare today, but it's still happening. It could happen. He's preaching about Jesus Christ and reading right out of the book about who He is. And He's turning right around and putting a spin on who Jesus is. And when He gets through spinning who Jesus is, the brethren in the congregation say, Amen! Amen! And the Jesus that He's been preaching is something like this. Now, remember, if you're going to be saved by the power of Jesus Christ, you got to be baptized. Because Jesus has commanded that you can't be saved by Him, in parentheses, unless you're baptized also. Or you got to pray through. Because you can't be saved by Jesus unless you obey His commandment to pray through. If you don't pray through, you can't be saved by Jesus. What kind of Jesus are they building? Well, they're building a Jesus that stands in all of His radiant glory, but on His right shoulder is baptism. And on His left shoulder is praying through. And that praying through and that baptism is part of the composite of who Jesus Christ is from that pulpit. And they make Jesus less than He is and only make Him complete when He's got baptism over here and praying through over here and works up here and this down there and the other over there. A Jesus who's ridden with extra stuff, with baggage that are called works. That's the Jesus they preach. That's kind of like what we see when we go back and read about what the Pharisees are preaching and standing for about who Jesus is supposed to be. He was supposed to be the King, coming in riding on a white horse, slaying His enemies before Him, and taking over the world in one fell swoop. And none of this degradation, none of this going to a cross, none of this suffering the agonies of the hour, none of this dying, none of this being buried and resurrecting the third day, none of that, because their Messiah was a figment of their imagination, and He was none of those things. And because of that, they missed the mark. And we've got so many millions today. And because of baptism, or because of praying through, or because of having to do this set of good works, or because of this thing or that thing that they've added to our Savior to make Him whole, they have degraded and destroyed the image of Christ and put a million people to worshiping an idol made by men. That's the condition we have in the world today among Christians. And that's one of the types that we find out here in Christendom worshiping what they perceive to be Christ that is nothing more than a creation of their minds. Now, because of these variations in people's perspectives and their motives for why they must worship this false kind of Christ, He warned us and the whole world about this in Matthew 7. I quote this frequently. It's worth quoting again. In verse 21 of the 7th of Matthew, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven." And what do you think that will is? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Don't add anything. It's all Jesus or none Jesus. And if you believe all Jesus for salvation, then you shall be saved. And that's a commandment from God. That we must believe in the Father, believe in the message the Father has sent of His Son. Now, obviously, When God says, "He that doeth the," Jesus says, "He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven," obviously there are some things that are included in that. One of them is we cannot be just doing good works in the name of Christ. If you look at Matthew 7, we find that those people said in verse 22, they said, "Lord, Lord." Did you notice in that verse that they confessed Jesus as Lord? Now they're in eternity. They can't miss it there, can they? But they said, "Lord, Lord." Now, they did more than just confess Him as the lifted up Messiah, the lifted up Lamb of God, the lifted up King of Kings. They did more there that day. That's a future day, by the way. They'll do more there that day than just own Him as the ultimate and supreme Master. They're equating Him with the same Lord they worshipped on earth. Because they say, "King Jesus, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in Your name?" In Your name. They were doing things in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, as far as they saw it. But it wasn't this Jesus. It was another Jesus. "And in Thy name," they went on to say, "haven't we cast out devils, done many wonderful works, prophesied, and all of this." But Jesus says, "Only he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven will enter into the kingdom." And that will is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not many wonderful works, not casting out devils, not prophesying, but believing in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it can't be doing just good works. It can't be just preaching in the name of Christ. It can't be just performing miracles in His name. God reveals what His will is in His commandment, and that will is to believe in Christ. Now, last of all, and briefly, as we look at all the different ways that people view Jesus, we ask this question. For every one of us, let's answer it for ourselves. Is He a personalized character in your life? And what do we mean by, is He a personalized character in your life? As I said at the start of the message, you need to have a personal experience with Christ. Regardless of how you see Christ, what you've come to believe is truth about Christ. If you haven't had a personal experience with Christ, you don't have the proper perspective about who the Lord Jesus is. And you have to come to a place in that experience where you've trusted Him as your personal Savior. Not some work. Not some deed. Not some saying. Not something you've done or anything about anything you've done or any other man has done. But something about what Christ and Christ alone has done. You've got to believe and trust that He can and does save you and has saved you before the experience becomes true salvation. You have to come to a place where you voluntarily and willingly considered yourself one of His disciples. The big problem we have today with Christendom is that too many people have an easy believism Jesus. You know, you might think that the Pharisees' view of Jesus was the most corrupted view of Jesus on the market. Well, it wasn't. We've got such a corrupted view of Jesus today in Christendom all across the world that a lot of people think that the Lord Jesus Christ is someone that we can raise our hand in a crowd when the preacher says, "Are you concerned about your soul?" And then that's all it takes. You're saved. Going to heaven. Guaranteed to go to heaven. And then you can go on with your life just like you were before. No, that's not it. What we find is the Bible preaches, and Jesus was the most adamant teacher, preacher about this of all that we find writing in the Bible. The message that he taught was that if you don't do this, you can't be my disciple. Now, how was he able to do that? Because he knew that every true born again believer had the capacity in his soul to be a disciple. So he could put some restrictions upon us. And those would be the earmarks by which we could test ourselves. And by which everybody could know whether we were or were not the Lord Jesus's. Now, there are earmarks of true discipleship. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit points you to those earmarks. All of them can be classified under one heading, and that's this. Obeying the Lord Jesus Christ in the things that He teaches you and causes you to come to know. The big stepping off in the wrong direction is if you get to a place where the Lord has taught you something about how to be obedient to Him and what to do in that obedience, and instead of walking in that direction, you step off somewhere else. That's the big mistake. Because you can only know you're a disciple by obeying what you know to do. You can't hardly fault a child of God for going amiss in things that they just don't have any knowledge about. But when we know, we're bidden to walk according to His disciples. Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Well, that's one of the first steps. Because we can't learn what to do in following King Jesus if we're not willing to take upon us that yoke of servitude that will put us in the light, walking in the light as He is in the light. In Luke 14:27, Jesus says, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." I believe every one of us have a cross to bear. You know what yours is. I know what mine is. We're not ignorant about it. And that cross that you're bearing has to do with sin in your life. It has to do with sinful behavior in your life. You know, that cross, as Christ trudged down that road of sorrow, was representative of sin debt carried on His shoulders that He was about to pay for. And that's the way it is with our personal crosses. Whatever it is in your life that hinders and blockades you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that is your cross. He that will not bear his cross, take it up, and come after me, is not worthy of me. And he cannot be my disciple. And last of all, John 8:31, Jesus says this, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed?" Isn't it hard to be consistent day in and day out and just do what Jesus says day in and day out? It's hard. Real hard. Sometimes it seems almost impossible. That's what He calls us to. Because that's true discipleship. And that's what we attempt to do and strive to do by the leading and power of the Spirit as we work our way toward the future in our life and as we walk toward heaven and eternal fellowship with God. We seek to do the will of Christ, walk in His will. That's a true sign of discipleship. You find people that say, "Yeah, I know Christ as Savior," and nothing changes in their life. Could it be that they have a Pharisee's view of Christ? And I don't mean the exact Pharisee's view, but I mean a Pharisaical view. That is, they see Christ through their own narrow tunnel as something they've conjured up. They've got their own definition of what He is, their own understanding of what He is. And it doesn't include being Lord over their lives. Now, they may have got it from a preacher. They may have come up with it themselves. The end is the same. In the end, if we have that kind of view of Jesus, Jesus will only say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." We've got to have a personal view of Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. That's the way we've got to have.